JSE listed African Oxygen, also known as Afrox, which produces and supplies liquefied petroleum gas, is to be bought up in its entirety by American-German group Linde. Linde already owns just over 50% of Afrox's stock and is now going for the entire balance of it. It's offering shareholders R21.18 a share, which is a substantial premium on the stock's 30-day volume-weighted average price of R17.21 as at the middle of October. Once the deal goes through, Linde is set to delist Afrox from both the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and the Namibian Stock Exchange. This is a negative development for the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, with the number of companies listed with them diminishing at an alarming rate. Well, to discuss what's significant about this latest development, I'm joined on the line by David Shapiro. He's the Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much, David, for joining us. So if all goes according to plan, Afrox is going to be delisted from the JSE after over half a century being on the JSE. Why is this a big negative for the JSE? And of course, it won't be the first company to delist in recent time, will it?
No. We've seen a series of smaller businesses delisting. And I can understand from a management point of view. I think, first of all, Linde, which is the owner of the business, it owns just over 50%. I don't think it's got any other listed subsidiaries globally. So there might be a reason that they want to do it. Also, I think when you're a large international company, running a listed subsidiary does require a huge amount of time, effort, and there's a lot of compliance issues. But there's a bigger issue, I think, which is this is a business that is it's a manufacturing business or closely aligned to manufacturing. And one of the reasons that we've seen the non-performance of this business has been because of where the economy is going. You know, and I think so many of the large businesses have come back because of the demise of mining.
Yes.
I was just going through it this morning and thinking of my history on the JSE. And, you know, a lot of mines were almost ecosystems around which you had a lot of industries and businesses. And every time you close the shaft, you close a business. You know,
yes.
You close, even if it was a small engineering business aligned or just down the road from a mine shaft, you know, people would send equipment there for repairs and so on. But on a broader scale, I think as mines have closed down, so a number of industries that were aligned to them have also come under pressure. So as the heavy metal side of our economy has slowed, these kind of businesses have suffered. We've seen Hulamin, we've seen ArcelorMittal, we've seen, this is Roynet, businesses like that, which is cables, you know, mainly electric cables and so on. So
yes.
That's one part of it. And I think another part that we have to also understand is that investment has gone passive. You know, we're losing the culture where private individuals become involved in individual shares.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, where people buy individual portfolios. What do they do now? They, you know, if you go to a financial planner or an advisor, they put you into a unit trust or an ETF. And those tracker funds tend to focus on the top end of the market because they track an index.
That's right.
And those indexes, those indices are made up of big businesses. So smaller businesses at the bottom end just tend to fall down and become ignored. They don't get followed by analysts. And if you're not followed by an analyst, there's no one to recommend the share.
That's right.
You don't want to go do that. So there are a whole lot of reasons, not unique to the JSE. And I think unique to general stock markets. But South Africa has been particularly hard hit by that.
Yeah. It's said that since the year 2000, there are now about 250 less companies listed on the stock exchange.
Yeah.
So what are the prospects for the JSE going forward then? I mean, one would think that many companies would want to get listed, you know, to access funds to build up their businesses post-COVID. But, of course, the costs and the regulations and everything would probably put them off.
Well, that you tapped on why we do have a stock exchange. That's the reason. We don't have stock exchanges so we can have derivative products, and because you can't have a derivative product if you haven't got an underlying share,
yes,
you know, or an underlying index.
Mm.
So, I mean, this country was built, owes its success or its historical success, to the stock exchange, which was the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, was opened in 1886. And it really was a market to raise funds, to fund development of gold mines and associated industries, particularly mines. Mm. You know, we had gold mines, platinum mines, coal mines, you name them. We had mines here, nickel mines, copper mines, you name it. And that was the reason.
Yes.
So you had a market where you could raise equity capital, and we somehow lost it. You know, I've lived through a number of periods where huge money has been raised. I joined after 69 boom, which was a massive boom, where a number of industrial companies came in 1987, I think 1995, the time of the World Cup and everything.
Hmm.
And small businesses that we didn't know came to the market. And I fear that we might have seen an end to it. But it's absolutely imperative that we promote that kind of share ownership, you know, and get that going.
So how are we going to change the culture then, David? Because like you say, the big institutional investors will only go for your high ticket, stocks. And then, your small to medium enterprises, they just won't get the attention that they deserve.
No, it's something that the stock exchange itself, because it's their survival.
Yes.
That's at risk. They can say we're getting enough business from institutions, from high frequency trading, from derivative trading, etc. But you can't do that without small businesses. When we study the JSE, if you look at Discovery, which is a success, it came on as a small business. Today, it's a massive business.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking at lunchtime to Sabanya, to Neil Frodeman.
Mm.
I was in a webinar with him, and Sabanya started off as a very small business. Today, it's have a market cap of 150 billion. It was tendered. It could never have survived or prospered without the JSE.
Yes.
So we need, if you go through other businesses, I lived through BidVest. BidVest came to the market in 1988 as a company. I don't think it had a market cap of more than 20 million. When it delisted, it was significant more. Companies like Capitec, companies like Investec. These are all businesses that I have seen grow dramatically, but it probably grew at a time that was pre the ETFs or products and unit trusts and things like that.
Yes.
So, but we need, you need businesses like that, and you need companies to support them. The only business that has come recently of magnitude, and I might be going wrong now, has been Diskit. That's a few years ago. We need Dis-Chems every day every month.
So,
it was a big private business that went to the market, but we need a lot more like that to attract individuals to the to the market.
How tall a feat is that? What you're saying that needs to happen? How tall a feat is that? Given the fact that there is a lot of anti South African investment sentiment and people looking to invest offshore.
Yeah. I think perhaps the biggest area would be mining. We still have an array, and we still have a huge amount of opportunities in the mining industry. But I think that remains. But I think government needs to change plans as well. To have a more friendly environment around here that will allow foreign capital to come, or even local capital, to start developing the mining industry. Because once you get a mining industry thriving, you get industries around that, all that develop around it. So we've got to get back to something around that. The other one is spectrum. Once you release spectrum and you start to get IT businesses coming through,
yes,
application companies coming through, which will attract, which will start to attract people.
Yeah, because we do have a lot of people who are very smart and have come up with great ideas here in South Africa, but then they go offshore and, sell it there.
Dead right. Absolutely right. Because they feel that there's more to be done there. Even Prosus. Why did Prosus go to Amsterdam? Because it believes that it'll be able to raise money there. There's more money available for it, and there are more opportunities there. So you've got to start creating those opportunities here.
I know.
I just feel particularly sad, because Afrox in the 80s and 90s, and that was one of the top companies. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was always winning awards. I think it might have even won the Business Times top 100 company. Mm. You know, I'm trying to think that way back, and it certainly was an influential business.
Yeah. One of the reasons that they do cite for withdrawing or deciding to delist is the fact that the stock really was just moving sideways. It wasn't doing very well at all. And yet I would have thought, given that its underpin is LPG, that is, liquefied petroleum gas, which is basically an energy of the future, that people would be interested to invest in that, because that area has still yet to grow.
You're 100% right. It is, that is an attraction, but a lot of their products are used for welding and for engineering, for mining, for heavy metal stuff. And we've gone backwards in this respect. There's been no investment in infrastructure here. Hmm. There's been no capital invested in the company or capital projects. So that's one of the reasons as well, which I started off saying, a lot has to do with the direction of the economy that has led to this as well, or to the non-performance. I mean, you can pick up ArcelorMittal, Nampak, Hulamin. There's some businesses that were big, stately businesses years ago that are just going for a song simply because of the way things have gone here.
That was David Shapiro. He's the deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities.